And now we're joined by the National Security Council Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough. Mr. McDonough, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And when we talk about an expansion of the terrorism watch and no-fly list, how much of an expansion are we talking about? What new criteria are you going to use?
Well, I think the president made clear in his remarks the kinds of things that we want to inform that list. Information about new threats, new geographical threats, Yemen, West Africa, Somalia, Southeast Asia, making sure that we have a good understanding of where al-Qaeda is trying to move as we keep pressure on al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But the bottom line, I think, Melissa, is this. We had this information because we have very effective intelligence collection capacity, very experienced and talented intelligence professionals. What we have to do is just get that final 5 yards. And I think we've seen that happen before throughout the course of this year and, frankly, since 2001. And we're going to see an awful lot more of it because of these reforms.
The president said that this was not a failure to share information, that the information was out there. And one of the notes says that people who needed this information were not prevented from accessing it. It seems to me that depends on what you mean by share. If sharing information means dumping it into a database, or does it mean something more active than that?
Well, I think one of the things we did learn is that we want to make sure that these individual databases have an ability, even an automatic ability, to pulse against one another, to make sure that new information of one database is checked against information in similar databases in other agencies. So the fact is that we are sharing. You don't have agencies trying to protect the information they generate, as was the case before 9/11, and you have an awful lot of this information out there. We want to keep in mind that the amount of data that we are able to collect in any given day is really mind-boggling, so that these professionals are out there sifting through all this as a matter of course is really quite extraordinary. What we want to do is make sure that they have the targets, that they're informed by developments on the ground so that they can take all that information and direct it against the kind of new threats like this one we saw on Christmas Day.
Now, we heard this, of course, after 9/11, too, that the databases weren't talking to each other. Are you saying that now, you know, 8+ years after 9/11, that's still the case?
On the contrary. In fact, that's what the president said. He said that many of the reforms that were put in place after 9/11 have been working and working very well. Just three examples. We had Najibul Azazi, a fellow in Denver who was threatening attacks in New York City. You had David Coleman Headley, who was working out of Chicago and actually planning attacks overseas. And then you had five young Americans of Pakistani descent who returned to Pakistan to try to join the fight there. That was all drawing on intelligence that was shared across agencies, between intelligence and law enforcement and military sources. And so that sharing is working. So it's not a failure to share so much as it is to make sure that this vast amount of data that's pouring in every day is available, is consumable, is directed against the most pressing threats. And that's the issue that the president pointed out today. We saw an increased activity in Yemen. We have to make sure that when we see that kind of activity, we see a threat stream, we follow that thing, that threat stream until we knock it down.
And when it comes to analyzing those vast streams or universes of data that are coming in, would it be fair to say that there are not enough specialists at the National Counterterrorism Center to do that? Do you have enough, say, Middle East specialists, Arabic speakers, Urdu speakers, Pashto speakers?
You know, we do. We at the National Counterterrorism Center, at the Central Intelligence Agency, within all the other intelligence agencies in the government, all 16 of them, we have a great depth of talent. We have a great depth of experience. What we want to make sure that we are doing is giving them up-to-date guidance, up-to-date rules and protocols informed by this threat, which is changing, which is adapting. We want to be as adaptable and as nimble, as the president said this afternoon, as these extremists and our enemies are trying to be.
I want to run by you a critique from Thomas Kane, who was one of the chairs of the 9/11 Commission. He calls this most recent intelligence failure an eerie echo of the failures that led to 9/11, and he says fundamental flaws that he saw then persist. Among them, he mentions turf battles among intelligence agencies. How big of a problem do you think that is?
There's no evidence that there's any turf battle that resulted in this systemic failure. In fact, we spent a good amount of time yesterday with his former vice chairman, Lee Hamilton, and we talked through with him some of these reforms that the 9/11 Commission is responsible, frankly, for having put in place. And I think they can be quite proud of the fact that many of these reforms and innovations have led to successful intelligence and successful counterterrorism victories over the course of the last several years. So the fact is, this isn't a question of turf battles. This is not a question of not sharing. What it is an example where we had bits and pieces available to the analysts, bits and pieces available to different agencies, where when you pull them all together, they paint a picture that should have set off alarms. And frankly, we'll make sure that when that happens in the future, it does set off alarms.
One reform after 9/11, of course, was the creation of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to oversee all 16 intelligence agencies. And I was looking through an Inspector General's report from about a year ago that says that even now or then, there were still lots of problems within that directorate, lots of confusion, poor communication, information not being shared, as we've been talking about. That report said the majority of employees at the DNI, including senior officials, were unable to articulate a clear understanding of their mission, roles, and responsibilities. That sounds like a pretty damning assessment of the office in charge of all intelligence.
I wish I were more familiar with the report you're citing, but let me tell you about some of the things I am familiar with. Mm-hmm. A weekly meeting between the president, the director of national intelligence, and the entire intelligence, counterterrorism, and homeland security team, where they talk through threats, where they follow threat streams like those from Najibullah Zazi, David Coleman Headley, the five guys going back to Pakistan, making sure that each of the agencies around the table is sharing the kind of information that is available to them. And frankly, we saw that again on Tuesday when the president sat down, heard an update on the investigation in this case from the FBI director, but he didn't just sit with the FBI director, but rather with all of the relevant agency heads so they could find out what are the tactics that Al-Qaeda is employing today? What does that tell me about the kind of threats that we have to be worried about tomorrow? And where should I be directing the kind of resources that the American people are investing in this fight? Where should I be directing those resources to? That's exactly the kind of sharing, collaboration, cooperation that we believe is going to continue to be successful as it already has been for so long.
And briefly, Mr. McDonough, before we end, do you think we have fallen victim to complacency here? Is that one lesson learned?
No, I don't think so. In fact, if you take a look at what happened on that flight, I think that you saw passengers who reacted with an amazing...
I don't mean passengers. I mean on a governmental level.
Well, and I think the challenge here is what I wanted to get to, Melissa, is that we want to make sure that the government is as agile and as capable as those passengers were that day. We want to make sure that we see the threats when they develop and we stay on top of them as we address them.
Dennis McDonough is the Chief of Staff of the National Security Council. Mr. McDonough, thanks very much.
Thank you.